Joining us now to explore this overlooked aspect of the drought is the report's co-author and senior policy advisor at UNICEF Australia, Oliver White. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Oliver.
Pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning. And a lot of the testimonies compiled in the report seem to indicate that children are growing up too fast because of these more mature responsibilities that they have to take on. What effect does this have on the kids?
Well, children spoke about having to take on this additional responsibility, having to work longer hours, having less time for schoolwork, and broadly that's impacting their education and their mental health and well-being. So children spoke about feeling isolated, being out on farms, particularly over the summer holidays, having to help out, very little time for to spend with their family or their friends. Some children spoke about feeling guilty in the knowledge that their parents were under huge financial hardship, but still had to find money for fees. And other children spoke about feeling powerless in the face of drought, wanting to bring an end to the suffering, but unable to do so. And one young girl that we spoke to said all she wanted for Christmas was rain.
Wow. So what coping mechanisms, you know, this wide range of obviously, you know, mental duress and emotional burdens that these kids are taking on, what kind of coping mechanisms exist in these communities, or what are they using to deal with this?
Well, it's important to note that these young children were incredibly strong, are incredibly strong and incredibly resilient. And for the most part, they are coping with this extraordinary set of circumstances reasonably well. But we asked them, how would you be in a year's time if nothing changed, if the drought was still continuing and you didn't get any additional support? And out of five, one being not very well and five being well, they rated themselves quite low on that scale, around 1.5 or 2. So what UNICEF thinks would help is an intervention now to prevent young people from developing problems later on. It's about a community-based intervention that supports the coping skills and resilience of children to face this adversity.
So in the short term, you're saying that they're dealing quite well, but obviously in the long term, it's going to be a bigger problem, and you want to, you know, intervene before that becomes the case.
That's right. And it's actually worth noting that yesterday, the New South Wales government did announce $88 million to strengthen mental health support in schools. And UNICEF's welcomed this announcement because this is the kind of initiative that we think will help. And this initiative by the New South Wales government applies to all public schools across the state. But many of those public schools are in rural and remote areas, and many of the students are drought affected. So we've welcomed this announcement.
Now, in the coverage of the drought that we see normally, we don't usually often hear about the effects on children. Why do you think that they're often overlooked in this equation?
Well, that's right. I mean, UNICEF knows from its work overseas that drought doesn't just affect farmers. It affects whole communities, whole families, and it does have a big impact on children. But we find in a whole range of areas that children are often overlooked by government as an important stakeholder. And, you know, it's a good question. Why do we overlook children? Because these children have very valuable lived experience. They are intimate knowledge of the working of the farm. They've got ideas and solutions around sustainable agriculture and how to address climate change. Yet they're often not around the table around government discussions around what the policy response should be or what the services that should be provided. So one of the recommendations is in the report is for governments to find ways to include children and young people affected by drought in the solutions.
Right. So you've mentioned some of these recommendations. You mentioned intervention. What are some of the other major, the report contains 9 recommendations. What are some of the other major action that you've suggested for state and federal governments to address these issues?
So the recommendations are basically around increased support for students themselves, for children themselves, and that's about providing psychological first aid training to children and the adults that are in their lives, so they're more familiar with the warning signs that they can look out for, also how to have supportive conversations with their peers and where to find help. So again, it's about a community response, it's about prevention, it's about equipping communities with the skills and the tools needed to respond. The other set of recommendations is around increased support for parents. It's recognizing that parents are doing an incredible job under very difficult circumstances, but perhaps some information around, again, what are the warning signs you can look out for in your own child, how to have a supportive conversation with your child, because we know that when children identify their emotions and they talk about their experiences, it helps them make sense of that. And one of the things that was very obvious to us while we were having these consultations is there's this reluctance to talk in the community, both the adults and the young people. And the young people in particular were saying they didn't want to talk to their parents about how they felt because they didn't want to add to the already huge amount of pressure that their parents were under.
Right. Well, certainly a difficult situation, and we can only hope that the recommendations are put in place and do help relieve some of the stress. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Oliver, and talking to us about it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Absolutely. And that was Oliver White, Senior Policy Advisor at UNICEF Australia and co-author of the In Their Own Words report into the emotional effects of drought on children in rural